And we're back. And that this is tough to follow. Edith Piaf singing the Marseillaise.
And that was also the orchestration of Hector Berlioz, who arrived as a young man in Paris during the events of 1830 and heard people singing this in the street. And he said, well, you know, I'm a composer. I'm going to figure some things to do out with trumpets and stuff like that. And he put that together. And boy, that really turned the place upside down.
Yeah, so, well, in 1789, they turned it upside down. I think maybe they need to do that again, but I'm not.
Where do they ever?
Don't want to be coaching them. But hey, we are joined, I believe, by Ehab Lutayev of GazaArc.org. Are you there, Ehab?
I'm here.
Hey, thanks very much. You probably didn't mind it. We celebrated the liberty, equality, and fraternity.
Not at all.
We spoke with you not so long ago. You've been doing great work. You had this really wonderful original concept of building a ship and getting material from the residents of Gaza and then carrying it to customers around the world and emphasizing the freedom of the seas and whatnot and equality for the people of Gaza. Of course, now, today, the bombs are falling on Gaza. I don't see any sign of a let-up, but you know far better than I what's going on there, and that's, of course, why we want to talk to you. Can you tell us what you know about the situation in Gaza?
Well, I think the situation is as bad as any of us can imagine. The indiscriminate and brutal attack of Israel on the civilian population of Gaza is not letting go. The world is not putting any pressure on Israel. Israel is as defiant as ever to the pressure that, I should say, doesn't even exist, and saying it's going to finish its work, whatever that really means. One cannot but feel that the situation is getting out of control, and the Israeli actions are becoming worse attack after attack. Mm-hmm. We want to believe that there is some sort of ability of the world to speak up, responsibility, but we don't see any action taken by quote unquote the world. 2 years ago, when Israel attacked, there was a democratically elected government in Egypt that put some pressure and, astonishingly enough, managed to broker a deal that many people saw, including Israelis, was in the favor of the Palestinians in a way. Mm-hmm. But of course now the situation has turned 180 degrees in Egypt, so the poor people in Gaza have no power to back them up anywhere in the world.
Yeah, no, it's quite remarkable. I want to ask you. I noticed that there were at the beginning of this, an incident I haven't seen follow up, at least not in the papers I'm looking at, that there were four members of parliament who were visiting Israel, and the first day of this, they reported that they had come under, that they had heard the sirens in Israel and that they'd had to run and hide from possible attack by missiles from Gaza. Have any of these parliamentarians come to visit Gaza itself? I assume Gaza's Ark would welcome them to have a look at the project you've undertaken, for example.
There has been no Canadian members of parliament who visited Gaza since Libby Davis and Richard Nadeau visited Gaza in 2009 after Cost led. Since then, and I think long before that as well, no Canadian parliamentarian got to visit Gaza, and Libby Davis and Richard Nadeau were under huge fire and attack within, at least in the case of the NDP, from within their own parties for doing that. So no, unfortunately, Canada is the best supporter, defender of Israel worldwide. No questions asked. No, no justice or human rights taken into account.
Yes, I noticed that. For example, the Star today ran featured an article by a writer whose name is Harper, but spelled differently. But and he was somewhat critical, saying, "Well, the government is over the top in its language and, for example, make issuing calls for international solidarity with Israel, etc. However, I didn't notice that he complained about the Liberal Party's silence or the NDP silence. And I, as far as I know, the Green Party has a couple of times indicated they might wiggle a little space, but there, none of them have anything to say.
Look, unfortunately, we have a Zionist lobby that freaks out any party that would be speaking against Israel. Everybody has to take great care, and especially when they start having dreams of becoming official opposition or government, as the case with the NDP, we have to realize how the position of the NDP changed between 2007, 8, and between now, when they want to be the government or have that in their sight. So nobody wants to make enemies. Yeah. Nobody basically wants to make enemies.
It's the old idea. They want to show they're ready to govern. So,
which is exactly the opposite in my understanding of government and leadership. But
yeah,
yes.
I absolutely agree with you. Now, and this is Ehab Lotayef, and together with others, has been doing this work with Gaza Arc. And in a way, your work illustrates that this is not about fighting terrorists or Hamas, because my understanding is your ship was attacked during this process. And I assume you believe it was targeted. I don't know. Could you talk about that? Because as far as I know, you're not Hamas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our ship was targeted on April 29th. Explosives were planted under the keel of the boat, and it nearly sunk, but we managed to salvage it. That happened as soon as we started announcing our planned sailing date in early June. So we had that mishap, and we had no proof, so we kept our mouths shut about pointing fingers. But, of course, it was clear who would be interested in sabotaging a project like Gaza's Ark. That is a peaceful project that's challenging the blockade, that exposes Israel's claims that it's doing what it's doing for its own security, which is totally false. And if it stops a boat carrying products from Gaza from the inside out, then where is the security threat that they're blockading Gaza for? Mm-hmm. So they didn't want it to sail. That was obvious. And we pulled it out to shore, and we were repairing it over the past couple of months. This past Friday, it sustained a direct hit by a projectile, most probably from an Israeli naval ship. Mm-hmm. It was targeted explicitly and clearly, and it caught fire. So again, that was this time without doubt that Israel does not want peaceful challenges for its atrocities against the people, the civilian population of Gaza. Mm-hmm. And it won't allow this kind of project to reach fruition so that it doesn't cause it bad publicity when it has to deal with it in a more prominent way. But that said, we never thought that anything is beyond Israel's doing, and we promise the people who supported us, and we promise the people of Palestine and Gaza, who are our partners, by the way, and that was a great aspect of the project of Gaza's Ark compared to our other Freedom Flotilla work, because instead of coming from the outside in, we partnered with the local civil society in building the boat and in getting the contracts, the buyers for local products. So we promise the world, and we promise the Palestinian people, and we really promise Israel as well, that we will not be silenced, and our hope will continue, and our intention and determination to work against the blockade and for the rights of the Palestinian people in general will continue and go even stronger now.
Yeah. Yeah, my memory is that each time you guys just dust yourselves off and start again and get a new and improved boat and move toward a time when it'll finally sail. More people who join in, they can become part of that process. It's GazaArk.org. org, by the way. But also, now, you must be, in speaking to people there, I assume you've been in touch, what kind of things are you hearing in terms of this issue targeting? For example, we illustrated that your boat, which does not represent any kind of terror threat, it gets targeted. The Israeli story is, well, they're only attacking Hamas or armed groups. What kind of reports are you hearing? What are you being told?
First, I mean, let me be very clear. If you look at a normal, well, urbanly planned city like Montreal or like Toronto, and try to say that because in this three-story building there is somebody who is a suspect, I'm going to go and blow the building down after giving 50 or 60 second warning, that's how the civilians are going to get out of it, then I am not doing collective punishment and a war crime by attacking civilians, then you're simply lying and misleading the world. Mm-hmm. That is if you're doing it in a city that has a structure like Montreal or Toronto. If you are doing it in Gaza, where it's one of the most densely populated areas in the world, where refugee camps are built, where apartments are built touching each other and close to each other, and there are tens and tens of people living in each apartment, mm-hmm. and you think that you can say that you're doing surgical attacks to kill military leaders or people involved with Hamas, then you are totally misleading the world. Yes, there is a family of that person, whoever that person is, and that's assuming that they will succeed and they will get the right building. He has kids, grandkids, neighbors, and all those are civilians, even if they are a family or neighbors of a military leader. So there is nothing such as targeting. There's nothing such as respecting the civilian population in what Israel is doing right now. And if people want to believe that, then I can only say that please put yourself in that situation. Put yourself in a situation where you can imagine that your neighbor is a wanted person, and then say it's okay to come down and blow down the whole building.
Yes. Well, and remembering it's all entirely arbitrary as to the word suspect or is a wanted by whom. This is a community under siege and has been now for years and years. I notice Yuri Avneri, who is a peace activist in Israel, wrote a column the other day, appeared in the Counterpunch. You probably saw it. He said, well, all this is going to happen. All these children and civilians are going to be killed. And when it's over, nothing is going to have changed. I mean, nothing is this thing about, well, we'll do it until we're finished. Finished with what? The reality of Gaza is going to be there, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, if we, after all these years, believe that there is an end to Israel's greed or plans or borders, then we are again naive. Israel wants to expand and expand. It's an expansionist state. During the brightest day of peace talks, the settlements in the West Bank were expanding and expanding. Its withdrawal from Gaza of 2005 was only done because the cost of occupation was getting too high. But since then till now, they are occupying Gaza de facto, without having to bear the responsibility of the occupier and without giving the people of Gaza any freedom. And add to that the clear knowledge about the gas and oil reserves in the territorial waters of Gaza, and anybody who wants to think would understand why Israel is playing that game and what it really wants from Gaza. Israel wants the land minus the population. That is what it hopes for, both regarding the West Bank and Gaza, so that the demographics don't change, and at the same time, the land and whatever wealth comes with it becomes its.
Mm-hmm. This is Ehab Lotayev, and Ehab, there is some some demonstrations here. We had a large one on Friday at Bloor University. I understand there's one scheduled going on at Dundas Square here in Toronto. I took a little heart from a photograph I saw of the Senate of Chile standing in solidarity with the people of Gaza. And I assume that you're having demonstrations in Montreal. Can you tell us about any of that?
Oh, we had a huge demonstration in Montreal, and it was extremely spontaneous. It was only called for under 48 hours before the time on Friday afternoon. And despite the fact that the time was changed, people came by the thousands. It was a huge demonstration that covered the streets of Montreal on Friday evening.
Wow.
And of course, I think that demonstrations are not the only thing we should do. I think people should pick up the phones, should write letters to the editor, should pick up the phones and call their members of parliament and the government and write emails, etc., because demonstrations are only as powerful as the media coverage they get. Mm-hmm. And we don't want the deaths to increase so that the media just gets more interested. People should speak out, and this country should take a more honorable position than the, sorry to use the word, disgusting position it takes regarding the Palestinian-Israeli conflict.
Yes. This is Ahab Latoyev. And lastly, tell us about what you're going to do now. You've been targeted, your ship has been damaged, but tell us what you plan to do.
Well, we plan, the only clear point in our plan at this point is that our work is not over. We are going to continue as strong as we did before. And that's not only Gaza's arc, that's also the whole Freedom Flotilla Coalition. We work very well and very strongly since 2010 as a coalition with presence in a dozen countries, and we all work together and we all coordinate together no matter who's leading what project. Mm-hmm. The specifics of what we're going to do are not determined at this point yet, and I guess will not be determined in any particular manner till this episode ends in Gaza, until we consult as well with our partners inside Gaza and inside Palestine to decide together what is the best way and what is the best strategy to follow from here on against the blockade. And as I always mention, not only against the blockade, but also within the bigger picture of challenging the whole abuse of the Palestinian people and stealing their rights and lands.
Ahab Latoyev, thank you very, very much. GazaArc.org, and our best to David Heap and all the others, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And that's Ahab Latoyev, and it is GazaArc.org. I knew they were going to bounce back. But by the way, we don't know when this bombing or these assaults will end. There could be further. But there is it Dundas Square?
It was a demonstration when I was on my way to the station at Dundas Square. There were about 100 people, and a lot of policemen, of course, because...
they're in solidarity.
Of course.
That's not surprising.
And you tell the story of the Chilean Senate standing in solidarity. I have been searching for one parliamentarian anywhere in Canada who has said anything critical, and I cannot find one.
You won't. There are a lot of rocks you have to look under if you want to find one who's going to say
something. Well, I think we're down to the Earth's core, and we still haven't found one.
I'm sorry?
I said we're down to the Earth's core, and we still haven't found one.
Yeah, well, they have. That's why they have the party whip to phone them and say, they're looking for you, don't answer. So you're listening to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us, taylor@ciut.fm. You could also, we're on Facebook.com/TheTaylorReport. And there are all kinds of ways. I left out some, with Taylor-Report, did I say it .com?
It's Taylor-Report.com.